Messages for preachers come all different ways. Most of my messages I plan out ahead of time. I plan series that I preach and teach through. I try to do my best to give you the whole counsel of God over a long period of time. As I look through a year of preaching, I look back at another year of preaching that I've done and see what I've covered and what I have not covered. And preaching has a lot of planning in it, but sometimes preaching comes through different means. This particular message came from a time in prayer this week with the Lord, and the Lord impressed upon my heart this particular message. And so it was not planned. It is not something that I had in my docket to preach. But God needs to be able to have that freedom to change and to put on our hearts what needs to be preached. And so I want to share with you a message entitled "The Backslider in Heart." The word backslider has a negative ring to it. Most people cringe or tighten when they hear the word backslider. It's like hearing the word Judas or Jezebel or hypocrite mentioned. They're not spiritually edifying words like other words that we might use. So it is with the term backslider. It's like bad breath. Most people won't tell you if you have it, and if you are told, you won't admit it. It's kind of like snoring. My wife tells me from time to time, "Honey, you snore." I say, I never hear it. I have no idea what you're talking about. But the word backslider, what is a backslider? Let me clearly identify as I begin the message, what is a backslider? A backslider is a saved person who falls into sin or chooses sin. A lost sinner cannot be a backslider. You have to go somewhere before you can slide back. But one who is truly born again, who is a child of God, who chooses the route of sin in their lives, is a backslider. It may be outrageous and gross sin, known to everyone, but often it's not. That's not where it begins. Normally it begins, as the scripture states, in a heart that gets cold towards God. Usually it begins with somebody that just cools off and becomes a little lukewarm instead of the burning fire of love for God. It's a Christian that loses joy or loses that sweet part of fellowship with God. This person is a backslider. A backslider is a Christian who has become careless, disobedient, unhappy, ineffective as a Christian. One who has suffered a sliding back spiritually, so to speak. And Hosea chapter 11, verse 7 says, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him." We have many examples of backsliders in the Bible. Noah was a good man. Noah was a preacher. Noah was a man of faith. Noah was a man that accomplished a great task for God, but Noah was a backslider. Noah became drunk one day, naked in his tent. His children saw him. It's a terrible story in the scriptures. Noah was a backslider. Lot was a backslider. Lot fell in love with prosperity and affluency, but what came along with those things was worldliness and wickedness. Lot didn't realize that in joining the ranks of being prosperous, there was a danger of becoming worldly and wicked, and Lot was a backslider. Abraham is another example of one who was a backslider. Lied about his own sister. Abraham, known as the friend of God, but Abraham was a backslider. David, a man after God's own heart, was a backslider and is known for his sin of adultery with Bathsheba. Peter was backslidden when he denied Christ three times and cursed. Peter the fisherman, Peter the man that walked on the water, Peter the man that preached and 3,000 people got saved, Peter the man that helped the lame man to rise up and walk on his way to the temple, Peter the godly man that we know was a backslider. Here's the truth, all Christians backslide because all Christians sin. A Christian who backslides is like a child who disobeys his parents. It does not affect his sonship, but it does affect his fellowship, his joy, the approval of the Father. It is important that we realize that a backslider is one who has lost fellowship with God. Not salvation, not sonship, but lost the sweet, precious fellowship with Christ. The joy may depart from us, but the Spirit does not. When King David sinned so grievously and finally came to himself, he didn't pray unto God, "Restore unto me my salvation." But he did pray unto God, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." The prodigal son was still a son even when he was away from his father. But he was restored to fellowship when he returned to his father. I want to give you the definition of backsliding this morning. There are three Old Testament words that are used for the definition of backsliding. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3 and let's look at verses 6 through 12. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And this word, in this passage, the word for backsliding means defection. It means waywardness. It means apostasy. In Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah gives a discourse here on the backslider or the backsliding of Israel. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done?" Notice that backsliding Israel was backsliding Israel in God's eyes. God is speaking to Jeremiah and God is saying, "Jeremiah, do you see what backsliding Israel hath done?" I want you to know this from this passage. God sees every Christian that goes wayward. God sees it. God knows it. God sees the works. God sees the things that you do. God sees the coldness of heart. God sees the waywardness and the rejection of truth in your life. God sees how you can disregard that which you know to be right. God sees the backslider. He saw backsliding Israel, the nation of Israel, in this passage. She has gone up every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. It's amazing that God would want a Christian who plays the part of a harlot to return to him. A backslider who has been unfaithful to him, and God says, turn thou unto me. Return unto me. Though God sees all of our backslidings, Christian, he still wants us to return to him. Boy, is that the mercy of God in our lives, that God would still plead with us and say, please turn to me. Verse number 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Verse number 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Here the nation of Israel continued to go headlong into their sin, headlong running from God. And God said, Jeremiah, please go and tell my people, return unto me. I will be merciful. I'll not hold my anger forever, a merciful God. The first word, backsliding, portrays waywardness. It portrays apostasy. It portrays defection. But turn over to Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 16. There's another passage of Scripture that portrays other meanings of a backslider. Here, this passage in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, portrays defiance. It portrays stubbornness. It portrays rebellion. As we understand the definition of a backslider this morning, we have to understand what the text teaches us about a backslider. It says in Hosea 4:16, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." Here Israel had become stubborn. They had become resistant. They had become rebellious. Part of backsliding is not somebody that has just strayed, but part of backsliding and what develops in the heart is that of stubbornness and rebellion against God, a defiance against what God wants to accomplish in my life. Very serious matter. Third word is used in our text, Proverbs 14, verse number 14. The idea or the definition here is someone that turns back to his old ways. He's filled with his own ways, the Bible says. And so a backslider is somebody that's wayward. A backslider is somebody that is defiant, somebody that can be stubborn and rebellious against God. A backslider is somebody that has turned back to old ways from which they came out of, from which God delivered them out of. Backsliding is a gradual process. If it came as a splash of cold water in the face on a sweltering day, we'd recognize it for what it is. And we'd say, no, I'm not going to let that happen in my life. But it doesn't happen that way. It's a gradual process. Satan is sly and his tactics are subtle. Even as the onslaught of diseases can be sometimes hidden. And folks here, some of you have been through that. You've been diagnosed with something that you had no idea was in your body, that you couldn't even detect until something came up, that all of a sudden there was a symptom that caught your attention, but it was already working in your body before you even could recognize that the symptom was there. So it is with backsliding. It may begin with a general feeling of spiritual indifference as we fail to focus on spiritual things and give a little bit more attention to the flesh. Initially, the prayer life may be crowded out with other interests, even innocent things as sports or hobbies. We fill our hearts and our lives unknowingly with junk food, and our hunger for the Word of God diminishes. And then other symptoms start to show up. Because where does backsliding first occur? It occurs in the heart. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What's the Bible saying here? The backsliding first begins where? In the heart. And then what happens? It begins to manifest itself in its own ways, the Bible says. This person that is backslidden in the heart, that has drifted away from the Lord in his heart, begins to be filled with his own ways. Backsliding occurs in a heart incognito. That is, it's undetected by others, and sometimes it's undetected by the person himself. Backsliding is not necessarily getting drunk or committing adultery or any other outward course of sin that you may identify. It often grows first in the heart. It begins in the heart. Long before a Christian shows any symptoms of backsliding, like absence from church meetings, like losing zeal for serving the Lord, there is an inward lapse in the heart. That's where backsliding begins. At any time in a church's life, there's a good chance that backsliding's going on in some hearts. That's why a preacher's motivated to preach a message on the backslider in heart. The backslider in heart is one who falls away from God in his heart. One who departs from the Lord in his heart. The backslider's heart is emptied of God's ways, and over time is filled with his own ways. This is how the Bible describes it works. He develops self-indulging activities and habits. He develops self-pleasing desires, things that are contrary to God's will. He becomes self-willed. The backslider can begin to justify all of his own ways. A backslider is one who has drifted from fellowship with God in his heart. Devotions become hit and miss at first, and then become pretty much miss most of the time. A backslider is one who has stopped responding to God and his word. Why? Because his heart has grown away from the Lord. A backslider is one who's allowed the ground of his heart to grow to be fallow ground. Fallow ground is unplowed ground. Fallow ground is ground that's filled with weeds and thorns and briars. And all of this hinders the good seed of the Word of God getting down into the heart. This is a backslider. This is how the process works. A backslider is one who stopped doing the necessary maintenance of pulling the weeds and the thorns and the briars out of his heart. The habit, the biblical habit of confession, is far gone. And weeds and briars and thorns have been allowed to grow and develop deep roots. And as a result, the seed of the Word of God can't get in to the heart because there's all kinds of other things in the heart that have grown and grown roots in the heart. And as a result, a backslider is a backslider first in the heart. A backslider is one who stops visiting the altar. All is all right. A backslider can be one who's outwardly serving the Lord, but inwardly is rotting away. It happens to preachers. It happens to leaders. It happens to teachers. It happens to all Christians. The backsliding that takes place in the heart. It's a falling away. It's when you in temptation give yourself to the temptation over and over again. Can I just be direct with you this morning? You're backslidden. If temptation is getting victory in your life day in and day out, and you're giving yourself to sin on a regular basis, private or public, my friend, hear me and hear me well, you are backsliding. You're going backwards spiritually, and God sees it. God takes notice of it. Was there ever a time where you were nearer to God than you are now? Was there ever a time when you read the Bible more or enjoyed it more than you do now? Was there ever a time where you prayed more? When you had your prayers answered more? Was there ever a day when you were more burdened for souls than you are now? Was there ever a time where you were more completely absorbed in the Lord's business than you are today? If there was ever a time that was yes to any one of these questions, then you are backslidden. You've slidden back spiritually. And that's a serious, serious condition. You've slidden back, and you need to draw close again. The definition of backsliding, but I want you to see the description of backsliding. Unless a backslider deals with backsliding in his heart, it will begin to manifest itself towards and before others. No corruption stays in the heart forever. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 9. I want to show you one of the ways that it manifests itself. 2 Kings 17 verse number 9. One of the ways that it manifests itself is it manifests itself secretly with doing things that are not right before God. Boy, do we live in a world where that is available in great amount of ways today. That you can do secretly things that are against God and nobody else know it. But I want you to know that if you're involved in things like what I'm talking about, you are backslidden, my friend. I'm your friend this morning. I'm trying to help you to identify where you're at spiritually with God. And you cannot do things in private. You cannot sneak around in private and do things that maybe nobody else knows about. Maybe your parents don't know about. Maybe your mate doesn't know about. Maybe the preacher doesn't know about. Maybe your neighbors don't know about it. But I want you to know it's backsliding against God, and God knows. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 9, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. Notice it wasn't against a mate. And it wasn't against a parent. It was against God. And when you backslide and it begins to manifest itself privately and secretly in your life, may I remind you this morning and be a straight shooter, it is against God Himself. When you secretly violate the truths of God's Word, the principles, the commands of God, when you do that, you are sinning against God himself. You are backsliding against God. The description of backsliding, it's going to manifest itself. Sometimes it manifests itself secretly and privately. Eventually, however, outward evidence begins to appear, such as giving up church attendance, such as prayer and Bible reading. Gentlemen, can I talk to you for a second? Does your wife ever know anything that you get from the Bible? Do your kids ever see you read the Bible? Or pray? Or know that God dealt with you, your heart on some matter in personal time with the Lord? Brethren, when we're backsliding, eventually what's going on in our heart begins to manifest itself, begins to show up to where nobody can see anything going on spiritually. And it's all the results of backsliding that's taking place inside the heart. You lose love and enthusiasm for the Lord's work. When you used to be out door knocking, that slides away. It becomes, takes the back seat in your life. Your burden for souls is not resonating like it used to resonate. Listen, there's something going on in your heart that's wrong. You're backslidden. While backsliding may not be sudden in its onset, the condition may degenerate quickly so that the wayward soul suddenly finds himself in grievous sin. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 15, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. As those things begin to rise to the surface, those are the things that are defiling you. Your life becomes self-oriented. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." In Proverbs 1, it talks about a people that comes unto God in a time of tragedy. And it says, "They would not of my counsel," in verse 30, "and they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and shall be filled with their own devices." In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." In Proverbs 12 and verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Do you understand how much of life can be filled up with my own? Study Proverbs, search the word own, you'll be amazed. Solomon gives the advice, "Cease from thine own wisdom." You see, a backslider, what comes to the surface is that this backsliding in heart is most demonstrated by an independent spirit of, "I will do things my way." A backslider has his own priorities. He has his own philosophies about life. He has his own way of raising children. He has his own way of personal liberties. His own way of managing money. His own wisdom. His own spirit. His own way of, "Let me make my own decisions." His own way of, "No one's going to tell me what to do." His own way. "I will do it despite what my authorities say. I will do it because it feels right. My own way. No guardrails in my life. No standards. No protection in my life. I have my way." A backslider is filled with his own ways. He's filled. His heart is filled with that. It's up to the brim. With everything is my way. I have an independent mind. I'm going to do it my way. The world is filled with everyone having their own ways today. This feeds the heart of the backslider. He's often caught saying, "Well, I just think. Well, my opinion is." That's the heart of a backslider. He's filled with his own ways. And Proverbs 28, verse 26 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered." A backslider is self-oriented. He's filled with his own ways. He misses the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin. It's not as heavy as it used to be. It doesn't shake me as much when I hear a hard message on sin. In time, the fear of God departs from the heart of the backslider, and a complete reordering of priorities occurs. Then one day you realize that your abhorrence of sin is gone, and it becomes easy to justify your actions that you would have not justified 6 months ago, 5 years ago. But you justify it today. Why? Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit's gone. You have built a life on your own. I often, when I deal with somebody that's been involved in sin, I often ask this question. When was it that the Holy Spirit bothered you about it? It often reveals to me how far this person is away from the Lord. I have had some say, he didn't. Or in other words, I could do it, and I could do it again, and I could do it again, and the Holy Spirit didn't bother me. I've had some say, the first time I did it, the Holy Spirit was on me like that. You know, I wonder what that answer to that question is in the life of Ananias and Sapphira, who came and probably premeditated to lie in their giving to the church. I wonder where the Holy Spirit dealt with them about it. Said, hey, bud, you're wrong. I wonder if they had drifted so far away that they hardly sensed any Holy Spirit work. Sir, ma'am, young person this morning, if you can do sin and get away with it and it doesn't bother you, you got a serious relationship issue with the Holy Spirit. Because my understanding of the Holy Spirit is that he reproves and convicts of sin. And when I am in right standing with God and I go to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit goes, whoop, stop. And that's what the Holy Spirit should be doing in your life if you're in a right relationship with the Holy Spirit. But if you're backslidden, you don't hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't sense it in your life. You sit through preaching on sin and you're involved in it and it doesn't affect you one iota. You're backslidden this morning. You need help. You need to turn to God. I plead with you. Turn back to God. Come back to God. Come on your knees. Say, God, I want that convicting power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want fellowship with the Father that I haven't had in a long time. I plead with you this morning. When you're backslidden, your spiritual senses become dull to sin. Sin robs you of good senses. Sin makes promises it cannot keep. And sin never reveals the harm that it's going to do in your life. This happened in Lot's life. What Lot allowed in his home and what he allowed himself to participate in and what places he allowed himself to be must have been stunning to those who knew Lot before Sodom. This is righteous Lot. Righteous Lot involved in that? No, I can't even believe that. That can't be true. Yeah, sad to say it was. Because over time, Lot and Sodom became dull to sin. It is the description of a backslider. You know, the darkness in a restaurant is not so bad as our eyes adjust to it. And the closer to sin we get, the less we see that's wrong with it. There's something else that happens in the life of a backslider. He becomes self-oriented. He loses the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there's something else that happens. His company changes. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I think one of the greatest examples in Scripture of this is a man by the name of Demas. Demas walked with Paul. This was his bud. They served God together. They were with one another. But backsliding in heart occurred. And one day, Demas said to Paul, see ya. I'm going to find a different crowd. I'm going to got to find a crowd that matches my life. And Paul writes, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Something else that's true of a backslider, his company changes. His company changes. Someone said, there are some in this life, for me to have fellowship with them, I'd have to backslide. Who are you having company with? People that are walking with God? People that love God? People that love His church? People that love souls? People that talk about spiritual things? Or the world? Or other backsliders? Or people that don't love souls? People that don't have anything spiritually to talk about? People that don't love the church? Who are you running with? It'll tell you who you are. The company changed. For the prodigal, the company changed. He went into riotous living with others. You used to be close to so-and-so, but you're not close to them anymore. Your alliances that you are forming are with weak, worldly people. And I'm saying something. God's word says it. Your company's changing. There's something wrong. You're backslidden. You're going away from the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Hear me and hear me well. It is impossible for you to delight in the scripture and walk with ungodly people. The psalmist could not do both. He resisted walking with some people in order to delight in the Lord. There are tough choices in life, but some of the tough choices in life mean leaving a wrong crowd in order to be with the right crowd, because my heart is with God. If there's anything that's killing the church, it's a wrong crowd today. We need woke up about it. We need to be realizing that I can't run with them and love the book. Psalms points that out. When the love for the Bible is gone, it not only becomes uninteresting, it becomes repulsive. A backslider doesn't want to be around the Word. A backslider doesn't want to hear strong preaching. A backslider doesn't want to be in the Word. A backslider doesn't want to be in a conversation about the Word. A backslider doesn't want to be around the Word, period. That's a backslider. If that's your heart, if you see that in your life, I'm not trying to hurt you this morning. I am trying to help you. You've got to see your spiritual condition before God. Backslider in heart loses sight of heavenly values. His company changes, but he loses sight of heavenly values. He loves worldliness, loves the world's activities, loves what the world offers on Sundays. Boy, if the world's got something and it's more exciting than church, I'll do it. That's a backslider. He loves the Sunday activities that the world offers. He loves the world's fashion. He loves its culture. He loves its entertainment. He loves its looseness. Backsliding. He has divided loyalties. He feels torn. Some commitment to the Lord, but so many other things pulling him. He's looking back at what he's missing. I know I'm supposed to march forward for the Lord, but what? Look what I could have over here. Look what I could have over here. Almost grieved that he's even trying to follow the Lord. The heart of a backslider. Inconsistencies abound in his life. In Hosea chapter 6, verse number 4, God says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Or in other words, you have glimpses where you do right, but they're only glimpses. It's no consistency in your life. In Hosea chapter 8, verse number 5, they say, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. And then it says, this is what God says, They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols that they may be cut off. They say that they know me. They say that they have a relationship with me, but I'm not affecting their life in any way. God says, what do I do with this kind of a people? Where inconsistencies abound, where they're backslidden before God. It happens in the life of a believer. They come and sing the hymns on Sunday. They read the scripture out loud. They even thank God for protection in their lives. But then go and use the dirty, filthy speech of the world. And how can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? It does for the person that's backslidden. Here's a person that, if our church was online, like. Over here, the world puts something online that's not right. Clearly wrong. Exalts the world values. Like. Whoa, what's the problem? We have inconsistencies. Life of a backslider. Say one thing, do another. Say I love you, but God says your heart is far from me. In other words, your words are not matching up to your life. Problems. You're a backslider at heart. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 15:8. Spiritual things become boring to a backslider. Why? Because spiritual things are not about me. And a backslider is filled with what? His own ways. And so, when spiritual things start to be pressured, when a pressure begins to apply to a backslider, oh, they're uncomfortable. Oh, they don't like it. Oh, I better look for another church. Why? Because spiritual things are boring. Unconcerned about souls. I could go on this morning on the description. The backslider in heart, the definition, the description, but I want you to look at the draw. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 3. Three times in Jeremiah chapter 3, God pleads with his backsliding people. Pleads and he says in verse 7, turn thou unto me. In verse 12, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. In verse number 22, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Here's the truth. If you're backslidden, God's reaching out to you. And sir, ma'am, young person, it's not going to get better by letting it go. The roots are going to grow deeper. The outward manifestations are going to continue to rise to the top. Sin is going to get a greater grip. You're going to feel further and further away from God. It's high time that backsliders get right with God. It's high time that some people bow a knee before God and say, God, I have backslidden against you. God, my backslidings are against you. A message like this has always been a blessing in my life. I've had to hit altars where I have been backslidden. You could be a preacher. You could be a deacon. You can be a 40-year member. But hear me this morning. Every Christian is susceptible to what I'm dealing with. And if we're going to have revival, and we've been praying for revival, some people are going to have to become honest with themselves and say, my life is being filled with me.
And there are evidences that I am backslidden before God. And God, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to waste years. I'm not going to waste months. I'm not going to waste weeks. I'm going to return to you. I'm going to confess my backslidings. I'm going to let you uproot some things out of my life. God, I want to be right with you. Christian, I'm asking you as I go into the invitation this morning, eyeball to eyeball, do you want to be right with God? Is that the most important thing in your life right now? I want to be right with God. If you're backslidden, you are not right with God. And you need to get right. And you can get right today.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,